And as I told you, Rom is just a gem. I've known Rom for, I think she said we know each other 10 or 12 or 15 years. And she is what you get. What you see is what you get. There's no pulling punches with her. What she gets, she delivers. And she really knows her stuff, and she's wonderful. She's just great.
Yeah, and what's great is she's actually going to be on our show next week again, correct?
Right, we're turning the tables, or she's going to turn the tables. She's going to interview us next week, which will be a great experience.
Yeah, that's going to be fun because, you know, when we were on our break last week, she said to me, you know what, Chris, you know, you think very differently than I do. And we do a lot of the same things, but we do it different ways. And I would just love to interview you and Victor. So I was like, yeah, let's do it. And here we are next week. She's going to turn the tables on us. And I know it's going to be a great show next week. But we have a great show this week. And our guest this week is Carol Dahlman.
Karen.
I'm sorry. I thought that's what I said. My bad. And she's the author of The Spirit of Ouija. Let's see. What do we got here? You listen to UPRN 107.7 out of New Orleans. And great agenda as always. We have a gemstone. We have a birthday segment. We do have a Church of Second Sight. It's going to be a great show. Let's see. What do we got here, Victor? You know, I'm running all over. My mind is all over the place today. I don't know why. But famous birthdays. This week we have Adele. We have George Clooney. We have Willie Mays. Tony Blair. Orson Welles. Okay, guys. I know you all know who this woman is. Tracy Lords. Please don't even, you know, front on me. Everyone knows who Tracy Lords is. Probably you all fantasized about her back in the day. Anyway, then we have Harry Truman, Don Rickles, Billy Joel, Bono, Sid Vicious, Fred Astaire, and for my 80s people, we have Topanga. Do you guys remember Topanga? That's Danielle Fishel. She was on The Wonder Years. Was it The Wonder Years? No. Well, I don't remember what freaking show it was, but she was Topanga and she was hot. Anyway, and it's her birthday. So my thought for the week is things come together and happen for a reason. Follow your gut. If there is any hesitation, there's a good chance that it is not the right choice for you. Boy Meets World in the chat room. Yes, she was from Boy Meets World. And I got to say, I might have fantasized once or twice about good old Topanga. Anyway, I don't know why I admit this stuff on the air, Victor. I mean, I really have like diarrhea of the mouth sometimes. I really need to learn how to control myself. Anyway, why don't you introduce our guest?
Well, Chris, I'm happy to say that our guest tonight is Karen A. Dahlman. Karen believes that life is meant to be a joyful experience driven by the expression of our creative inner potentials. She believes that we're able to tap this great source within when we open ourselves to all possibilities. Now, in her latest book, The Spirits of Ouija, 4 Decades of Communication, she shares all the insights she gained while opening up her communication with conscious beings from the great beyond via the Ouija board. Karen has a strong spiritual connection to her spirit friends, and she has throughout her entire life. Highly experienced as a Ouijaologist, I blew that one, but it's a Ouijaologist, that's one who studies the use of the board. She teaches others about the positive benefits of using this tool as a means for expanding and deepening one's world and expressions within it in the most profound ways. Please welcome our guest, Karen A. Dahlman. Karen, good evening. Welcome.
Good evening, gentlemen. Thank you for having me. What a great introduction. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
You know what? I have to tell you, you know, Victor never ever fails to meet the highest standard when he introduces our guests. He's phenomenal. And I'm really excited about this show, Karen, because there's so much controversy about the Ouija board. You know, everybody says it's evil and you shouldn't play with it, and everybody wants to know how you get rid of it. You know, I posted it on Facebook today. I have a couple rooms, and I posted people saying, I heard you got to cut it into 4 and then bury it. I heard you have to put it in a plastic bag and then bury it 12 inches. Some people said you had to burn it. Some people said you could never throw it away. We're going to get into all that. But there's so much controversy surrounding the Ouija board. And I have to say, I remember back in the day, it was a book called Ouija, the most deadliest game, I believe. And I read it. And from that point on, I was very much into learning about the Ouija board. And I have to say, here I him maybe 30 years later, and I know about as much now as I did then. So I'm glad that you're here with us tonight. Maybe we could get to the bottom of the Ouija board. I'm hoping to. I know there's a lot of listeners tonight that are really looking forward to this show, so I'm very happy to have you here with us tonight.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And, yeah, I guess you could try to burn it, bury it, cut it up, throw it away, but the Ouija board...
Karen?
I can't hear.
I think we've lost her. Yeah, I needed you to relocate also. We're having, there's a lot of issues with Skype tonight for some reason. Karen,
I'm
can you
noticing.
Hear me? There
I
she
know,
is.
Yeah, I can, but it's intermittent. You're absolutely right. I'm getting those time lags with you guys as well as losing some of the conversation.
Yeah, we are also missing some of the conversation. So, but I think we're all back now. So let's get back with it.
Great. Now, we can call on the phone number if that gets to a point where it's not working too well, and we can do that, too. So we'll make this happen one way or the other, and hopefully the spirits aren't messing with us. Just kidding.
Well,
although I've been on talk.
Karen, it wouldn't be the first time.
No, it hasn't been the cold during the middle of some interviews, and I think they're kind of done. There's nothing else they want to say.
So, basically, let's start off with, what is the history of the Ouija?
Well, the history of the Ouija goes, as we know it, as modern-day America knows it, goes back to 1890. In 1890 is when they filed a patent on it, a gentleman by the last name of Bond. He filed the patent in 1890, and it was granted in 1891, and that's when Ouija, as we know it, went into being made. And there's various different companies back then that were making talking spirit boards, but the Ouija, that trade name we know, started in 1891.
Ooh. All right.
And how did the Ouija get its name, Karen?
Well, that's a very interesting story there. I think most people believe that Ouija stands for yes, no, Ouija, like French, German, right? And that's not true. That's just a wise tale. Truthfully, how the Ouija got its name is there's a story. It goes back to a woman named Helen Peters. She was one of the people that accompanied Bond when he went to the patent office to go ahead and have this device patented. The attorney there said, if you guys show me that this works, I'll go ahead and grant you your patent right here on the spot. So Miss Peters, who is actually a medium of her own right, sat down with the board, with Bond, and it answered the question that only the person who knew the answer to was that other attorney that worked for the patent office. He was a little freaked out and said, here's
Chris, so what experience have you had while we're getting Karen back on, negative or positive, with the Ouija?
There's a story I'd like to tell, but I want to wait for Karen to get back on the air with us. I have never really had many positive experiences with it. I feel like I've gotten answers here and there, but I'm always questioning if the person is pushing it. Even though I'm a psychic medium, I am so skeptical of anything, of everything, really. And I've never been a real, true believer, okay, when I've had to work with it. But on the other hand, I've seen people who have worked with the Ouija board and did it by themselves. And, people who listen to the show have heard me talk about progressive entrapment. And that's something I absolutely want to talk to Karen about. I've done maybe, I can't prove that it's related to the Ouija board, but these people were using the Ouija board when the attachment happened. So, this is a great subject, and I just can't wait to pick Karen's brain when she gets back with us.
Actually, I'm probably, Karen's still with us. Karen, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you, sure. It's intermittent, but I can hear you.
Okay, why don't we just continue right now, because I'm trying to get Joe to try and dial her up on the other line. But in the meantime, let's continue.
Okay. Well, I was telling you about Helen Peters and her involvement with the Ouija board. And it's, she's the, we would call her the mother of the Ouija board, where William Fold was the father. Bond was the attorney that helped him get it patented. Anyway, they were sitting around a table one night, a gentleman by the last name of Kennard and Bond and Miss Peters. And they were doing the board and asking the board what it should be named. And the board said, it spelled out the word O-U-I-J-A. And when they asked what it meant, it said, good luck. So right then, Miss Peters, she takes this locket off of her neck, opens it up, and it says, inside there, the woman's picture, and it says O-U-I-J-A. It might have been the spelling of O-U-I-D-A, but they're not sure. But she said, wow, and they said, okay, the name's going to stick. It'll be Ouija.
We're going to switch over now to your landline, so go ahead and hang up on Skype. And
you got it.
We got
okay,
you now.
Perfect.
Okay, I'm back.
Well, you know, that's really amazing. So the Ouija gave itself its own name, basically.
It gave itself its own name, and so that name stuck, and it's patented as either the Ouija or Egyptian Luck Board. That's the name that was given it. It was always sold as a Ouija.
Well, I find that amazing, and I'm glad that you said that, you know, because everybody, I think everybody in the world basically thinks it means yes, no, and you just, you know, you gave me an answer that I had no idea about. I really believed it meant yes, no as well. So that's pretty cool. Anyway, why did you start using the Ouija board?
Well, I started using it in 1973. I was messing around with it with some friends down the street. I knew nothing about it. I never had seen one. I didn't know what they were, but these gal friends of mine were using it. And I was really curious because they told me they were speaking to dead people. And I thought, okay, that's interesting. Now, just a little history of my own. I have always seen things, visions, items, entities that were not supposedly in that space. People would tell me I was just seeing make-believe friends. But no, I was being visited and contacted by various beings at a very young age. And I just didn't talk about it too much for fear of being ridiculed and that I was told maybe I'm crazy or something. So I didn't even tell my friends this. And I thought, well, good, this would be great. I can talk to these beings that appear to me all the time. So I sat down at the board with one of the sisters, and we messed around with it a little bit, asking silly questions like, how do you spell relief? R-O-L-A-I-D-S, you know, that old commercial from the 70s. Yep. And then somebody came through and started speaking to us, and it was, like, playful. And I was wondering, you know, who is this being? And the girl said, oh, that's our sister. I said, what? They go, yeah, we have a dead sister. Unbeknownst to me, one of the twins, one of the girls was a twin. I never knew that. And her sister died right after birth. And they said, we talk to her all the time. She plays with us. She plays with us through the board, and we communicate with her. And I thought, oh, my God, this is just amazing. We've got this phone, like a cosmic phone. I can call anybody, anytime, anywhere. I thought, how cool is this? So that got me started on this whole odyssey, realizing there's influences out there, really not knowing anything about if it's positive, negative, just not judging it, but just so amazed that you could reach to beyond. And that's what those girls told me we were doing. So not really knowing, I was very curious. And that just led me into a lot of studies about it and getting one of those boards myself for Christmas that year. And interesting, you'll find this very interesting, is that I got that on Christmas Day from Santa Claus. The day after, in 1973, December 26th, the Exorcist, the movie Exorcist, was released. So I got the board one day before the Exorcist came out. And, of course, the Exorcist really scared the jeebus out of people with, you know, the little minute-and-a-half segment of Reagan, the girl who's really a boy in true life, using the board. And the boy right. in true life, they really believed he didn't have a board. But anyway, nonetheless, it scared people, and I had gotten my board right around that same time.
Wow. Now, you know, you say in your book that you've used the board for 40 years, which means you started when you were 2 years old, right?
I started in the womb, right?
In the womb, absolutely.
Still tiny by my age. People do the math.
I know. So let me ask you this. When you're using the board, to whom are you speaking or communicating? With whom?
Well, you know, I'm speaking to various levels of entities, and I'll say levels because they're at different dimensions. It doesn't mean higher or lower. It just means another frequency, another dimension. That, and I can tell you that now from these many years of working with this and asking questions. Just so your listeners understand, I kept copious notes and journals throughout the whole time I worked. From young, and I wrote about the board in there, and I had a lot of memories about it. But from 89 and on, I started really diving deep into the studies of Ouija, and I kept my notes. And so when I wrote this book, it's filled with just going back in time, a snapshot of everything that I was doing around in my life and how I was using this board. But I learned over the years there's various entities or beings or consciousness, if you call it that, or frequencies that you can speak with. And you can speak with anything from a dead relative, somebody who's passed on. You can speak to your guides, angels. You can speak to beings who have never been born, who never had a corporeal experience. They're ethereal. You can speak to energies and entities that go way beyond even our galaxy. You can speak with animals, dead and alive, and I do speak to alive animals. You can speak to people's higher consciousness, their higher self. And I spent 4 years just doing nothing but experiments with that, and just some crazy, profound information and messages came from those times. I mean, those are my favorite times when we spoke to our higher self. So there's a varying consciousness you can speak with. And for me, I have to say, you guys, I've been very fortunate to not fall into a lot of this negative stories that I hear, although I have witnessed some more negative types of things happen around the board.
Well, I want to ask you about that because, you know, but I remember reading that book, The Most Deadliest Game, so many years ago. It had to be 20 years ago. It had maybe more than 20 years ago. And what stuck out to me was progressive entrapment. And now I don't know how much you know about what I do and what Victor does, but I do exorcisms, okay? And Victor is probably my main helper at this point. And I can't prove it. I absolutely can't prove it, so I want to go on record to say that. But I've done 6 exorcisms so far that I believe were directly related to the Ouija board. Now, can I prove it? No, I absolutely can't. But in each of these instances, these 6 people have all used the Ouija board by itself. And for those of you who don't know what progressive entrapment is, it's when you use the Ouija board and a spirit, you make contact with a spirit and they befriend you and you befriend them and there's a trust built up between the two of you. And maybe the spirit isn't what they actually seem. You know, maybe they're not as nice as they're actually portraying themselves to be. And by using the board by yourself, spirit could kind of infiltrate you and start to attach as time goes on because you put your guard down more and more and more because you feel like you're actually speaking to a friend. And maybe it's really not a friend. And then what happens is the entrapment part where possession happens. Now, is it real? I don't know. I honestly could say that I don't know. But I do know that I've worked on 6 cases in my life where, at least 6, maybe it's a little bit more, I'm not sure, but where these people were playing with the Ouija board by themselves and shortly thereafter they had the attachment happen. Now, Karen, what do you think about what I just said? Do you agree with it? Do you believe in that? Talk to me about this.
What I believe is that, and just definitely have respect for your work, what I believe is that there are such things as attachments, and spirit releasement is required. I do believe that spirits can become attached to somebody when we are imbibing in substances, we are open, we are some way opening ourselves and not understanding that the arena in which we're traversing. We've really got to understand the space we're stepping into. We step into different consciousnesses or frequencies and vibrations. We can speak a little bit more about that because that's a very important piece of doing any of this work or any type of spiritual work. So, yes, I've heard people talking about using the board alone and that this has happened to them. And number one, I never recommend you do the board alone. I really think, just so you know, I've been using it now 41 years. I don't teach people to use it alone for reasons of you can get obsessed with it, and you become obsessed because you're getting some messages because, you may think they're your friends. There hasn't been enough time or consistency, continuity built up with your budding relationship. you've got to be careful with any time you start opening your door to even strangers on the street. You don't know those people. You don't know these spirits. I believe in earthbound spirits. I do believe that the personality stays stuck on the dimension, and therefore it's stuck with the same personality that it had here, which could be angry, it could be abusive, it could be sad, depressed. It could be a myriad of reasons why it stays stuck, but I think that helps contribute to this whole phenomenon of attachments, of spirit attachments. And when we open ourselves, whether it's through the substances, whether it's through feeling really melancholy, depression does it. You can even be manic, elation, and open yourself up. It's because you're not in your center. And so not that anybody's evil or bad because they had an attachment, it's because they don't know better and what they're doing. And it's really important to not engage in any of this kind of spiritual practice just alone. You really, especially this tool, and I think it's a neutral device. There is no energy attached to it other than your own energy put into it. It's just a neutral device. It's really the users who use it, but you could sit there in your house and also bring things to you by looking, staring at a candle or doing table tipping or, you know, pendulum. You could use many a Frank's box. You could use many other kinds of tools to do this. You just got to be aware of what you're doing, and not that we have all the answers because we move into this space and journey into it, but that we've got to have some wit about us and some centeredness when we do this work. And I think that's a phenomenon that I've heard has happened, and I've seen some witness to that of people being obsessed with the earthbound spirits.
Well, you
and I earthbound spirits, by the way.
Well, I just want to say, you know, you said something about how other things can you know, be portals or openings to the other side, like pendulums and stuff like table tipping and candles. And it's true. You know, I think people have to be smart when they jump into the paranormal or the unknown.
Yeah.
You know, you have to respect it. You have to do it the right way. You know, there are right ways and wrong ways to do things. And the wrong way, when it comes to dealing with spirit, will get you in trouble every single time. So my message to people is learn the right way, learn the proper way, respect the other side when you're working with them, and that will, you know, that'll go a long way in you not, you know, screwing yourself up, for lack of a better way of saying it. So I agree with you 100% on that. Go ahead, Victor.
I was going to say sage advice. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Karen.
Oh, I was going to say, and I think it's good to know this kind of work alone. You can learn to meditate alone, and you can learn to do a lot of this stuff alone, but I think when you're new at this, it seems novel. It seems like a game, and we just market it as a game, as you know, and it definitely is not a game. And even though I got it when I was young, I think I was very fortunate. I already had a lot of spiritual beings on your side who were protecting me and working with me, and I've always been very fortunate. But I got to tell you, that's not the norm, and just to pick it up and start playing with it, it dumbfounds me, because I realize that you really are opening and moving into other areas. And I love what you said, Chris, about the respect. I think when you respect yourself, you're going to follow these some practices, what we'll talk about, and how to do things safely with the other dimensions. But also you need to, as you would with anybody in your life, you give respect, you get respect back. And it's a two-way street. And so I find myself really setting up any sessions I do with a lot of reverence and sacredness about it. And when I leave that space, I close that space with the same kind of reverence and sacredness. And I don't just get out the board, we're going to do Ouija right now. There's got to be a purpose and meaning behind it and respect for it. And I always thank, I always open a circle, and I always thank them when we're complete, because it's like they're spending time and energy and also trying to match my frequency, and I am too, and it can be very depleting at times on both sides. So it's just respect is one of the key words here, respect.
Well, you said that it's marketed as a game, and obviously, you know, everyone knows that it's marketed as a game. Now, I'm a firm believer that it is a name, that it is a tool to connect with the other side, even though it's just a board, okay? For whatever reason, spirit likes to work with it, okay? That's a fact. They just do. I've gotten into arguments with people about this on other shows, how they say, oh, it's just a game, it's a bunch of bullshit, blah, 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 blah. But it's not. You know, there is something to it. And now they're putting out, like, Barbie Ouija boards and these little...
Yeah,
and the angel board, it's the same thing. It's just a different name. It's pink instead of, you know, that earth color, brown or whatever the color it is. You know, all they did was change the name to an angel board or to a Barbie board, but it's the Ouija board, and they're pushing it as a game. And I think if people don't respect, you know, the what can happen if used improperly, I think people are going to wind up getting in trouble. I just do.
Yeah, and I would agree with you on that as well. With any type of paranormal investigations, and as you said, that the paranormal investigations and investigators are really cropping up everywhere. I think everybody has this curiosity about, you know, what happens with life and does it exist beyond, and really trying, and I think it's cool people are really trying to reach beyond themselves, understand there's so much more than our little egocentric world, right? There's so much more out there, and that's really neat. But yet, it's not a game, it's not a toy to go step into that space. When you step into space, you got an earthbound spirit, or maybe some spirits you've got to work with before too, Chris. It's you're in another territory now. You don't know the rules there. But what you can do is work with the rules that you have for yourself, and own your own free will, and really understand what that means. I mean, one of the things I highly recommend when anybody does any kind of spiritual contact, spiritual journeying. Channeling, whatever it is they want to call it that they're doing, have a spiritual practice that's exclusively your own, where you're really learning to listen to your intuition, your higher self, your inner self, your own guidance, and develop that communication with yourself. I call that finding your center. Meditate, visualize, listen to your dreams, learn about that inner world of yours, because then you start to find there's a strength in there that you can fall back on, and when anything seems to not quite feel right. As I tell people, especially at the Ouija board, things don't feel right, put the dang thing away, put it in a box, and put it, and say you're done. You don't need to do it. It's just be smart. Be smart and safe. You don't have to engage in any abusive, negative behavior. But again, if you're doing it by yourself, you don't know all this, you're probably going to play around and think it's just a lot of fun. And then it's fun until it goes rotten, and it's no more fun.
Sage advice from Chris George and our guest, Karen A. Dahlman, author of the book, The Spirits of Ouija, 4 Decades of Communication. Karen, if our listeners want to get your book or find out more about your work, how do they do that?
Well, they can find me anywhere in social media as well as my own website under my name, which is Karen A. Dahlman, D-A-H-L-M-A-N. And I have books there that you can get autographed copies on the website. Or you can go to Amazon.com, buy it in Kindle format, or you can buy it directly from Amazon. So, and I also on my website, I share a lot of other interviews I've done, but also some articles I write. My background is a psychotherapist, and I still have my licenses, and I practice for over a decade in private practice, and I write a lot of things that are really about being therapeutic and learning and growing within yourself and developing yourself. So you'll find very practical stuff on that website as well.
Well, in the course of your conversation with Chris, you were talking about various pitfalls of using any tool. You know, we always have the old analogy, fire can be a great friend, it can keep us warm, it can cook our food, it can protect us, and by the same token, fire can destroy everything. And as in any tool that we use, be it a Ouija board, be it a microscope, be it an axe or a saw or a hammer, it can be used to create and it can be used to destroy. So that being said, what protocol would you recommend to a first-time group of Ouija users?
Great question, and I think this is one of the most necessary things to discuss when people are curious about this tool. I have 13 steps, and I write about them in detail in Chapter 4 of my Spirits of Ouija book, 4 Decades of Communication. And basically, in a nutshell, what these steps embody are the following. One, you create the sacred space. And what I mean by that is you pull the board. First of all, you talk about time you're going to meet, whoever's going to do the board with you, and anybody else that's going to be a part. I call them open message circles. And you say you may not be inviting in substances, especially no drugs, no alcohol, prescription's fine, but nothing out of the ordinary. Don't come crazy. Don't come if you're very tired, worn out, angry. Leave that at the door. Walk in and find a space in your house where you're going to do this. Set the board down. I always light a candle or incense, and that's just a way of moving into a new frame of reference. I'm taking my usual casual day and lighting a candle, and all of a sudden, you know, you kind of relax. And it's a little more, and you feel a little more enjoyment. And then it just changes the atmosphere. Maybe you have smells that helps too, with incense. then in that process, too, I ask everybody to do a breathing exercise. And all this is in the book if you really want to know all the details to it. And the exercise really helps you connect your sacrum, which is your, I call it my throne, where you sit, up to your heart, and it's like your chakras. You connect all those energy centers in your body together and then breathe love in and out of your heart. It just allows us to relax, to set the frequency, the openness with that kind of energy. You're going to get a lot of what you harbor inside. And that's just within life. I mean, if you walk around angry, you're going to have angry responses. If you walk around a little more jovially, you're probably going to have people smile at you. So you do the same thing. It's just respecting the space you're entering and respecting your space. Then I always have everybody hold hands, and we do an invocation or a prayer. It's an introduction to moving into the space, and I always ask for the white light, protection, the God source, spirit, and then we protect ourselves, and then we open the circle. Now, the messages come through. We communicate with them. There'll be questions, and we'll dialogue, and then when they're done, they'll tell me goodbye, we're done, or we're done. We say thank you very much for what you shared with us today, and with that we say goodnight, goodbye, whatever it is, and then we blow the candle out, put the board away, very important. We might keep the messages on our paper with us, and we move into another room and sit down. At that point, we always have a conversation, a debriefing, an understanding of the messages, just to take it a little deeper. How I use the board is a spiritual tool to develop ourselves, to push us into new evolutionary growth with the way we think, with what we can do in our life, tapping into our talents, our skills, our aptitudes, really looking at the possibilities that are within. It's a very self-empowering way I use it. So having the conversations after the messages really help us integrate it, to assimilate it, integrate it. And the messages I find using the board this way, even though it might be geared toward one person, that we can all relate to. So they're always usually very relatable. And then it brings up other conversations about how that fits into their life. And I always suggest people journal about this stuff afterwards, because it's an experience. It's quite an incredible experience, it can be, to journal about it so you can put it back within your center and to ask yourself how that resonates. Just because we're speaking of something that's unseen, doesn't mean they have the answers. And in fact, all my beings I speak with will ask me questions and I'll ask them questions back. It's a dialogue we actually have. We communicate back and forth. And there's never any, I told you to do this. It's always just ideas, suggestions, or thoughts. And then sometimes if they say, you know, have you thought about trying this? And they'll say, how's that working for you? A month later, how's that working for you? And I'll say, well, not too good. I guess I'll try something else here. But it's really about them asking me to find my own empowerment within and my own answers. So that's how we use this tool, the opening, the using of it, the closing of it, stepping away from it, and then really ingesting the message and what just happened.
What's beautiful about your methodology is you've actually outlined the perfect plan or the perfect ritual for any spiritual pursuit.
Yes.
And it just doesn't have to apply to Ouija. It can apply to any spiritual pursuit where you've created the inner sacred space, the outer sacred space. You've set the intention, created the protection, expressed gratitude for what was received, and then closed down and then analyze and digest what you've experienced. That's a perfect plan. Thank you for sharing. That's beautiful.
Yeah, Victor, I'm so glad you said that, because what I've developed over the years doing this Ouija is what I use for every practice I do. And when I need just a little extra help, let's say I'm going into a business meeting and I'm feeling a little nervous, I will do the breathing, I will do the incantation prayer, I will ask for any kind of strength, wisdom from inside, from my helpers. Boom, I go, and I feel an extra sense of strength. And then when I'm done, I say, thank you very much for being present. I mean, we're never alone. And what I've learned in the process of this is that our helpers are there. The unseen helpers, and it very well could be a loved one you lost. It could be a pet. It could be, I have my angel, Mary Angel, I speak to quite a bit, in different characters. And it could even be just your higher self, talking to your own self. And what you find is that they won't intervene unless you really ask. And once you ask, they're there ready to help in many ways. It's just very comforting knowing that you're never, ever alone. Just know you're never alone.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I want to know, can the Ouija board help us connect with somebody who just recently passed? Like, if somebody passed today, can you use the Ouija board to connect with them?
You know, I had never had that experience. I don't know the answer to that for sure, although I have spoken to people who have been in coma. I did speak to a fetus, unborn child. It was a first trimester. Told me to sex, and I have dreams like that all the time. But I did speak to somebody, like I said, in a coma. They weren't dead yet, but they wanted to pass on. But somebody died right away. I never have. Although when somebody does die is close to me, I'm open. People that know me know I do this, and they're welcome to come speak to me. Usually what I find is there's an orientation time, and you guys probably experience that yourself, the work you do, that they aren't necessarily ready or wanting to. But they may be around. They may make contact through dreams. It's not always easy for them to come back through with this, through the energy, through the veil. I don't really know, plasma, whatever we call it. I don't think we have the right words for it. But they can come back. They don't always come back. And I don't know about the time frame. Some of them I've spoken to, people who've passed on and have been gone for 20, 30 years, and I'm getting communication, or even longer. Some have been passed on for a few months. I think it really just depends on the people that are gathered with me, if they want that conversation, and also if, you know, I'm ready for that to come through, and, you know, I have to do my work, too, to be open to that, and for them on that side to come through. A lot has to be in place, and stars aligned and everything jiving for that to happen. But no, I've never had an experience with somebody who just passed away right then and there.
Well, I'd like to follow up on that a little bit, because you said something, you know, that they have to be ready. Now, I've channeled spirit that had passed that morning. I mean, immediately. They passed, and I've channeled them. Okay, and then there have been spirits that have been dead for, you know, many years that, you know what, they're just not ready to come through. And it's been years, but they're not ready. So, you know, I'm a firm believer that if a spirit doesn't want to be contacted, I don't care how long they've been gone, whether it be a second or 100 years, if they don't want to be contacted or they're not ready to be contacted, I don't care how good of a medium you are, you're not contacting them. And that's just the way it is. I mean, there's... You know, because let me tell you something. You know, I have spirit. My grandfather, for instance, I love that man. I adored my grandfather. He's been gone. It has to be 15 years. You know how many times I've tried to contact him and channel him, and I have not been able to do it. And for somebody like me who prides himself on being an outstanding channel, it's a blow to, you know, whether it's the ego or whatever. And I've never been able to do it. But on the other hand, there have been times when I've been doing a seance and spirit just dies. The next thing you know, I'm channeling them. How does it happen? I don't know. They were ready. That's the only answer. I mean, it's when they're ready. It's not at your pace. It's at theirs.
Yeah, that's the answer that I receive from them when I ask these questions of them as well. It's when they're ready and if they want to. And they've also told me about how, you know, really life never ends. They just step into a new life. They even call it, I've heard, they're starting their new life. And they may be taking lessons and classes and speaking with other beings and traveling and seeing things and learning about their life recall, et cetera. I hear all these things are happening over there, and they're busy moving forward, and it's not always looking back. You know, they're not so stuck to their past personality they just left. Some are, and they have their more earthbound spirits, but a lot of these are not. But there will be ones like you, so they'll come around, and I know they're there because they have a message or they want to help the family or they feel like they'll be a comforting being. I know my angel came through. She's been there forever, but she said to me it wasn't until I really reached out and asked for her, and then she started appearing to me more and more and communicating with me more and more. But it took for me to go, oh, okay, that's a possibility. You know, okay, and then she was able to come through. Now, my angel was a physical incarnation before she died this last time, and she was a little girl who died really young, and because of that, that's all she had to do in her life. She fulfilled a few years, and then she helps many. She's not just my angel. She works with many, and what's most comfortable for me is that I call her Mary Angel, and she actually appears to me about a 32, 35-year-old woman, because that's what works for me. Although she will change other forms and look different ways and other names depending on what other people may need. But she works with a lot of other people that are alive, humans, because she knows the human experience, but yet now she will always be an angelic, she's an angelic realm being now. So she doesn't need to come back is what she tells me.
Now, that leads us to our next question, which is who you actually or whom to whom you actually speak or connect with. Some people say spirits. Some people say ghosts. Pardon me one second.
You know, I say them all. I think ghosts are more like the earthbound spirits, the ones that are, you know, tracing those, walking the same path, the same footsteps. You know, I bumped into a lot of those along the way. I've seen them. They popped up to me in my room or various places I've been. I remember in Mexico, one ran into me, and then I started communicating with her and helped her into the light, find her daughter. It was a horrible, it's written in the book, but it was a really very sad story, just sad, but she'd been walking the earth for 100 years, and all the guests, not the guests, the guests, some guests had reported it, but all the people that worked at this one hotel, many of them reported seeing this lady walk the beach late at night. When they walked up to her to ask her if she needed anything, she would just disappear. But I ran into her. She ran into me, I should say, in my room, and that was really a ghost. That was an earthbound spirit looking for her daughter who was taken away from her and killed at the hands of her husband. It was a horrible thing. But that's a ghost. I have many stories about that. They're spirits, and I tend to think of our loved ones, although they're ghostly, but I tend to think of those more as spiritual spirits, spiritual beings, spiritual energy. They passed over. They're not stuck in a personality. They're really just there to help us, to communicate with us, to watch over us. Maybe it's a grandfather that, you know, wants to watch over his youngest grandson and feel like he needs that extra fatherly attention, or just going to watch from afar and be there if the family needs them. Sometimes these are different ethereal beings, and the longer I've been doing this work, the more of them I meet. I do have two favorite ones. I call them favorite because they've been speaking with me since 1994, and I talk about in my book when they actually entered. And they're of energies, they're really androgynous, and they've never been born in our physical realm, in our physical humanoid bodies. They've always been light beings, and they're really there on that side to help people pass over. And that's what their job is. They're the last light beings that are there to help people move on. But they also help when people reach out and ask for their help. And they enter the board in the same spot each time. And then they tell me, I always ask them, announce who you are and give your message. Well, this one comes in at the sun. There's a sun in the corner of the board, and there's a moon in the corner of the board. And when I create my own boards, like out of the paper sack, and I just need a Ouija board quickly, I will draw the sun and moon, and that's because that's where these two like to enter. When they come in through that place, that means the planchette moves in that direction, and their energy moves differently on the board. It's the sun. It's that masculine energy, although it's androgynous, and then the moon is that feminine Luna energy, and it's really the balance of polarities and the opposites of each other, but they come together nicely, and when they communicate with myself and the people at the open message circle, they give really a well-rounded response or questions or thoughts or ideas, suggestions based on male, female, you know, passive, and then more aggressive is not the right word, but more of a passive feminine yin energy and more of a yang forward-moving energy. They give it from both perspectives, which is really nice. They complement each other. But those two I call the sun and moon. And there's been many, many along the way, and some will stay and work with me for a few years, and then our time together is up and over, and they tell me that. Others have come through just briefly because the sun says, hey, somebody wants to come in and say hello, and this is what they do, and they move on. I do speak to a lot of departed people because people that come to the message circle really want that closure. They want that confirmation that they're okay. And I do speak to a lot to animals. But when it's more myself doing it with my partner and we're doing more of our own spiritual work, we're speaking more to the ethereal beings in the higher selves and more on that level. To really understand more about the possibilities in the world, what's out there also within ourselves. So it's a little different. I think there's so many varying different types of consciousness, and they don't always identify in terms, I mean, they tell me who they are, where they're from, but identify what their purpose is there for. But, you know, and that can bring up people saying, well, how do you know they're good? How do you know they're not tricking you? Well, they've been talking to me for 41 years and haven't been tricked yet. And some of these go back, you know, 20, 30 years. And it's the consistency, the continuity over our linear time. For them, it's not linear, but I can count on them to bring solid information through for myself and for the people that sit at the readings.
You know, I have a question from Ian in the chat room, and it's very funny. I just want to throw it out there at you. He wants to know, can you have your Ouija, I can't even read it. He wants to know if you can have your Ouija account blocked for asking inappropriate questions.
Right, change your path, right?
Only in my chat room. This is, I mean, I have some crazy people.
And another person in the chat room wanted to know if the Ouija can unfriend you.
Yeah, you know what? I do. This is great. I love this. I'll tell you why. When I work with a board, they say, pick up the spirits, stand up and cheer or yell, be happy. They really want us to be happy, but it's not the Ouija, okay? This is even if I'm just journaling and channeling through my own writings or my dreams. They want us to experience joy and fun, and I've learned that from doing this work. It is supposed to be funny. They have such a sense of humor. Do they ever? So I love it that the listeners are really channeling this sense of humor, because they have spoken to me. Get this now. This is really funny. I don't tell too many people this. They speak to me in like LOL, you know, laugh out loud. They will do the stuff you might do when you just to be funny. Just to be funny.
Well, you know, we have another question from Esther in our chat room, and I don't think you answered this yet. She wants to know, is there something specific you do to close a session after using the board? Did you answer that?
Well, I don't mind going over that again, because that's such an important thing. As you said earlier, Chris, that you work with people who use the board themselves and all of a sudden had an attachment. They didn't know how to close. They didn't know how to open right either. And that's a great, great question. Yes, you really do want to step out of that sacred space, meaning if you lit a candle, blow it out. Say your thanks. Take the board, put it back in its box, or put it back on its shelf. Walk away from the space where you were doing the board. Step into another room. Then you are literally, physically moving from one space to the other. And then go drink some water. Have a cup of tea. I mean, have some food. Go back to being the corporeal, physical experience that you're supposed to be. And then you can think about what just happened. I mean, it is so important to close it. And you close it by respect, by thanking them. Okay, it's, for example, you're on the phone talking to somebody, as we're doing. When we're done, we're going to thank each other. It's courtesy. It's etiquette. And they have that same etiquette on that side, too, the courtesy. And they like it. They can respond better when they know that it's appreciated. And you're going to attract better things to you by doing that, whether you're walking through your life day to day or you're working with the spiritual realm. So, yeah, that's an important question. Put it away. Step outside of that space. Victor said you have that sacred space internal, the sacred space without. Then you have your own physical space. Go back to reality. Go back to, when I say reality, this is reality, but go back to your physical life, and that's what closes it. And
you know,
if you ever in this session and you get anything that's belittling, cussing, telling you what to do, immediately take that board, wipe it off, and say, I'm not going to talk to you. Put the board away. Just be done with it for now.
Karen, I got to say, you must be a super psychic, because every time one of our listeners in the chat room puts in a question, you're actually answering it within seconds, and that's, you're really in tune. I just wanted to say, Jim Dandy in our chat room said, if my Ouija board malfunctions, can I reboot it? And you answered that as he was typing the question. That's amazing.
And by the way, I'm not in the chat room because I got off of all the online stuff because it wasn't working too well for us. I love this humor because that's how you reboot your board. You stop, take the planchette off, you wipe it off, you put it back in the box. That's rebooting it, pulling it out later, starting over again. You know, might be several hours, might be another day. You know, don't engage. I mean, I've had these experiences where they come through and they think they're high and mighty and they say negative, derogatory things, and I just didn't even really know at the time what to do. But I was in college and I was studying psychology, and I thought, okay, I don't have to engage with this abusive behavior. And so I just said, you can't speak to me that way. I said, yes, I can. I said, no, because watch me. I will put this board away and move the planchette, and you can't talk to me anymore like that. And so I did that. I put it away, and we were done. That entity had never, ever come back to the board. So one of my bouncers, my spirit friends on the other side, I call them lovingly, said, yeah, that was a negative energy. You don't need that, and we do the best to help you keep that away. And that, well, he will stay away now. We're aware of him. We've got his game, basically.
Well, you know something? That's the fastest first hour we've ever had on Second Sight.
Wow.
You're absolutely amazing. Our guest is the wonderful Karen A. Dahlman, author of the book The Spirits of Ouija, 4 Decades of Communication. And Karen, please tell our listeners again how they can get a hold of your book and find out more about you and what you do.
Well, you can go anywhere online, social media, Twitter, Google+, Facebook. You can join me there, Karen A. Dahlman. Also, my website is also the same, KarenADahlman.com. Books are there, all kinds of information about where I'm speaking next, articles, both books, you can get them autographed, you buy them directly from the website. If not, you can go to Amazon.com. People have been kind enough to write reviews of the book. You can read about what people say about it. And then you can buy it there, Kindle or the paperback version.
And your website again, repeat your website, please.
It's Karen, K-A-R-E-N, middle initial A, last name D-A-H-L-M-A-N.com.
And the book is The Spirits of Ouija. Go ahead, Chris. I'm sorry. Chris?
Well, before we go to
break, Chris, you break it up.
I have to say, Karen, where are you from? Karen, where are you from? Yes, I'm here.
See, you would ask me that, okay? Because I love the East Coast accent. When I grew up, my dad was in the military, so I lived everywhere, and I spent a lot of time on the East Coast. So I speak sounds fast like an East Coast person, and then yet I lived a lot of time in the South, Southwest. I've lived all over, been to every state but Alaska, and so I tend to have like kind of a, I guess, a mutt type of accent. But I was born in Kansas.
And he's psychic medium Chris George. I'm Victor the Voice Furman. You're listening to Second Sight Radio. Our guest is Karen A. Dahlman. And this is the UFO Paranormal Radio Network, 107.7 in New Orleans and throughout the world on the Internet. We will be back.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello, I'm here.
Okay, are we on break?
We're on break. We've got about a five-minute break, Karen, so please
okay.
Feel free to do what you need to do.
Great. I think it's 14.
Mission.
Exorcisms.
Witchcraft.
The unseen.
He's psychic medium Chris George.
And he's Victor the Voice Furman.
We are Second Sight Radio.
Welcome back to Second Sight Radio. I'm psychic medium Chris George, and my co-host is Victor the Voice Furman. In the first hour, we were speaking with Karen Dahlman, and we've been talking about the Ouija board. And I got to tell you, this first hour has been fantastic. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I know Victor did, and I know our guest did as well. You're listening to UPRN 107.7 FM out of New Orleans. And welcome back to the second hour, people. I'm sure it's going to be just as good as the first. All right, Vic, second hour, we usually start out with the Church of Second Sight. Do you have a clue of what I'm going to talk about?
Oh, I have a big idea as to what you're going to talk about, having to do with the fact that your Facebook account had been hacked.
Yes, my Facebook account had been hacked. Somebody sent me, and my rant is about these son of a bitch hackers who screw people's lives for days, and it's just ridiculous, and for no reason, because they get nothing out of it. I get a message on Saturday from Catherine Ethereal, you know, a friend of both of ours, a very respected woman, and she says, oh, my God, are you upset? So knowing her the way I do, being a very, you know, upstanding, you know, very legitimate type woman, I obviously think it's her, and I said, no, I'm in a great mood. She said, well, have you seen those crazy pictures about you on Tumblr? And I said, no. She says, well, I'll send you the link. She goes, you know, be prepared to be, you know, disgusted. So I'm like, what the hell is she talking about? I mean, there's really no bad pictures of me out there except for, well, maybe one. And but I was with the girl for 3 years. And I mean, listen, it happens. Anyway. So I'm thinking, could she have possibly have done something, you know, underhanded like that? So like a dumbass, I click the link, and I get the virus. And next thing you know, all my friends on my friends list on Facebook are getting the same message that I'm getting. And as fast as they're getting them, I'm sending them a copy and pasting that I wrote up. Don't click it, it's a virus, blah, blah, whatever I sent them. And thank God I kept, you know, the everyone else getting this virus to a minimum. But it took me a day to take care of it. It absolutely drove me out of my mind. And it's just, I don't understand what these people get out of it. I mean, Victor, help me out here. Help me understand this.
There's a lot of people in this world who have just a very little understanding, compassion, and human kindness, and they take pleasure in doing things of this nature. But what was interesting, I got that message, and I didn't click on it because I realized that it was a what they call a lure or a spoof to get you to click on a link that will take you to a virus. But when I saw the caption, it says, check this picture out, Chris George embarrasses a horse, I knew that there was something wrong. So I didn't click on the link. And I know it wasn't from Catherine because somebody jumped on Catherine's page and probably hacked her. So it's something that's just horrible. People have a lot of time on their hands and very little conscience.
Yeah, I agree. Anyway, I'm not going to get so deep into it. I mean, it really pissed me off, and I feel bad for anybody who this happens to. It's something you have to deal with. It's something that will drive you out of your friggin' mind, and it did to me, but I'm glad it's over. Anyway,
but I will say, Chris, I will say that in your absence, I was channeling you on all of the fan pages so that your presence was...
Yeah, I heard you were saying, oofa, and forget about it, and how you doing, and I mean, you really became me there for a while. I was pretty impressed. Anyway, let's get back to our guest, okay? And we had got a question in the chat room from a longtime friend of mine, Kathy, and she wants to know, how could you tell if it's a negative spirit when they are being nice just to get the edge on you?
Great question. You know, again, this is why it's very important that you are understanding the more of who you are while you're doing this work. And I don't even recommend starting this work until you have some kind of spiritual practice in place. Now, that's not the only answer. The answer is this. Any message you get, you take it in tongue-in-cheek. You don't take anything literally and seriously. It's always over time. You have to let it sit and incubate the messages for a while and see after several months, years, into a year, what kind of messages you're getting. And let's say it is somebody, a trickster or earthbound spirit, they're going to have to let up eventually. But any time anything on the board tells you to do something that you're not doing good, any derogatory, negative, cussing, it's not of the quality you want. This will give them away at any moment. They get themselves away really pretty quickly as long as you stay in that frame of reference of you're not going to partake in anything that's derogatory, negative, abusive, saying, talking, belittling, talking down to you. That's how you're going to know. And it might take over time. Just when you do this work, you do want to build up spirit friends, bouncers, sometimes I refer to them funnily, that help you on the other side. And usually you work with trying to bring in your angel, a spirit guide, a being, a loved one that's passed on is going to help you. And then through those messages, you're going to know the quality of the message. Again, this is not a science that you can measure and have an exact answer. You've got to really know yourself. You know, a physician, heal thyself. Well, Ouija person user, know yourself. You've got to really know if this is resonating with you or not. So it's when you tread into the spiritual realm, it's more on the heart level. It's more of a feeling level. And you're not always going to get hardcore science. You know, you're not going to get validation, and the validation is going to have to come from within you. And so you've just got to take your time with it. And again, it's not something to do every day. It's not something to become obsessed with. It's something to do when you set up a time, and maybe you do it twice a month. You put it away. You don't. You move away from it. Don't let this become such a central part of your life.
And again, for our guests, for our listeners, our guest tonight is Karen A. Dahlman. She's the author of The Spirits of Ouija, Four Decades of Communication. Karen, you mentioned in your book and also in your promotional materials that you actually have been using the same board for 41 years. Wow. When, is that the board that you talked about getting at Christmas?
Yeah, that's the one Santa Claus brought me when I was 8 years old.
Wow, that is pretty cool. That's amazing.
We have Willita in the chat room. And Willita is a 15-year-old girl, a very nice kid, very gifted kid, and she plays with, and she uses the Ouija board, and she's saying that she's hearing people saying that they always get somebody on the board named Zuzu. Have you heard of that?
I know what that is, Chris.
It's Zozo, and it's a phenomenon, and people think it's a demonic force. I don't know if we all know really what it is, but this is what my take is on it. I believe it's a collective force of energy of all of us. We have some kind of negative thoughts, and especially working the board, I think this is like an archetypal collective energy that it's based in our fear, but it comes through as Zozo, spells out the name. Many, many people have been in contact. One time it came through my board, and I immediately said, because I know the stories, and again, doing this work, you have to study. You've got to do your research, not just on Ouija, but on the great spirituality, theosophies, philosophies of the world, and you start to understand more of what you're working with on the board. You start to understand more about what other things people have used in their past to be safe and solid in their life. But yeah, Zozo comes through, and I won't partake anything, even if it tends to be whatever it is. If I know that I've heard that, I'm just going to tell you can't speak. And it left, and also I cleared my board off, and I also put it away. I rebooted the board. I took a break, changed my password, rebooted the board is what I did.
I'm just wondering if that is a reference to the African demon, Bazhuzhu, which was mentioned in the Exorcist movies. Maybe that's what people are thinking when they say that.
Right. That was Bazhuzhu, and I guess this was Captain Howard to start with. You're right. And I think people want to connect it to. I don't know. I really don't have an answer to that. But I'll tell you what, I would be fascinated with it. I wouldn't get all involved in it. I wouldn't even engage with it even un momento on your board.
And to your point, if someone says, you know, it's the old story of people sitting around a campfire and someone starts telling a quote-unquote ghost story and they have a friend handing by and the friend jumps in at the end and scares everyone and this myth starts and this legend starts and mm-hmm. the connection with it, and then people start playing with Ouija board or doing other things and using a pendulum or whatever it might be that they're doing for divination, and they start talking about these names and they start scaring themselves. So it's really something that you have to stop doing.
Yeah, and the mind can play a lot of games on us, and there are, you know, earthbound spirits. So it's why set ourselves up for that? I mean, I think most people want to excel in life, and they want to be happy. I mean, that's what we all say. So why put yourself in a situation where it's not going to be that because you're curious? Well, I think you're going to have a lot more luck towards happiness if you really approach things on a whole other level than getting wrapped up in the negative parts of it. I'm not saying deny that it doesn't exist. I'm saying focus on what it is you want and focus your intentions on what you want, the type of communication you want when you come to the board. It's sort of, again, picking up a phone and speaking to somebody. If I'm doing a job interview or asking for a job, I'm not going to, you know, cuss them out and take it lightly and be imbibing in substances. I'm going to come really professional and speak to them in a very courteous manner. So that's how you consider the board a cosmic telephone. It's actually more of a cosmic wireless device. And you're reaching out into the ethers and connecting with all different types of things. Have your intention set. Have your sacredness set. Have your security of the white light with you. These are practices you have to do all the time, not just with the Ouija board, and then move into that space and then also close it. And then you're going to be met with any kind of divination device, tool, paranormal studies, you're going to be met with that same type of energy that you're going into it with. Don't get yourself all freaked out on the Zozo and these things. Really come back to your center. Go with what feels right for you inside, not all these stories you hear.
use your positive intention, because your positive intention is the greatest protection, the greatest tool, the greatest gift that you have. You know, Chris, you were talking before about handmade or homemade boards. Why don't you share your story?
All right. It's an interesting story. When I was in the Air Force, there was a girl who was from an Indian reservation in Arizona, and she was in the Air Force with me, and I wasn't very close with her. There was just something about her that I always thought was a little bit off. And she had a homemade Ouija board that apparently some, you know, as the story goes, some witch doctor or, you know, the medicine man from the whatever tribe she was from made this board, and it was very powerful, blah, 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 blah. So I was dating a girl at the time who was going away with her friends to Lubbock, Texas. I lived in Clovis, New Mexico. And they were doing the Ouija board, and I'm like, stop with that crap already. I mean, really, stop. Let's go out and have a good time. Let's go dance. Let's go have a few drinks. Let's go do something. Anyway, it starts talking to me. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, you guys are pushing it. So I said, get out of here. Let me get in there. So I start doing it with them, and it tells me that my girlfriend's cheating on me in her apartment. I'm like, that's impossible. She went to Texas for the weekend. I mean, if she's cheating on me, maybe she's cheating on me over there. But no, on the board it's telling me, no, she's cheating on you, or she's about to cheat on you in her apartment now. So I call her, no answer. I'm like, all right. My friend who was very much like a hillbilly kind of guy, but he was one of my best friends. I used to call him Lothar. And he says, come on, Chris, let's get in the car, let's drive there. I said, all right, you know. And then after we find out that she's not there, we'll go for a few drinks. I get to the house, and, you know, I look in the window, and I see what looks to be like a candle on. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I'd be damned if I didn't kick that door in, and she was with, you know, another guy. And the friggin' Ouija board told me that she was. So, I mean, really, I wanted to kill him. We hung him over the railing. You know, we were going to drop him on his head, but I thought better of myself. I figured to myself, you know what, it's really not his fault. She's the slut that's trying to, you know, that's doing it. He doesn't know about me. He has no idea who I am. So, but the moral of the story is the Ouija board told me that my girlfriend was cheating on me at that time in her apartment, and I'll be damned if she was. It was amazing. Uh-huh.
It is amazing, and messages like that come through all the time. I get so many emails from people that tell me the same stories, and I've had quite a few like that myself. I don't recommend using the Ouija board for prophetic things, but in this case, Spirit somehow wanted to let you know that you were probably spinning your wheels in the wrong place, you know, no pun intended, but it was probably, you know, it needed to let you know, open your eyes to something, and it wasn't so much prophecy, it was more about what's going on right now. Ouija will, that's what, when I say Ouija, I've got to stop that because I don't you think the board's talking to me. So, spirits are there to help us, and if they can see things in the future, they may tell you. When I get something like that, I just write it down, put it aside. I don't want ever count on anything because things change. You change, energy changes, you just don't know. So you don't want to ever rely on it. You know, even psychics, we don't give us something. And it's not because they're wrong or they're not psychics, because the energy changes. The alignment of everything has changed. So that happens. But that's a great story to hear, because it sounds like it helps you out and gets the truth of a matter.
And I'm glad you enjoyed it. I couldn't stand it, but I'm glad you guys enjoyed it.
You got the truth, and something inside of you wanted the truth, or else you've never been told. You were ready for that truth.
You.
Chris, as you tell everyone who has ever come to you for a reading, don't come to me if you don't want to hear the truth.
That's right. You know what, Victor? Well said. That's the truth right there.
That's it. And you know what? It protected you, and it probably taught you something, and it probably grew from the experience and became a better person for it. So I know at the time it didn't seem that way, but obviously it
did. Well, something good did come out of it, because a year later the girl that I was dating came down with herpes. And I you know, you want to talk about karma? You know, I'm not a big believer in karma, but hey, I got out in time. That's all I could say.
Well, you know, we had a question, Karen, we had a question from Moonshine Adams, who's a very close personal friend and partner with Chris and myself. And he said, is a homemade Ouija board any more effective or powerful than one that's prepackaged and purchased?
You know, anything will be more powerful for you if it's getting your attention than what beliefs you put behind it. That's going to help this process. I have people write to me and say, well, I'm bored, it's not working. I say, well, are you really ready to use this board? Are you willing to spend the time it takes to learn the subtle movements? Are you willing to put those hours and hours and seriously, miles on your fingers on the planchette, under your fingers? I mean, that's what requires. So I can make a homemade Ouija board. I have, meaning like if I'm traveling and visiting friends and they say, we'd like to do it this evening, I'll say, okay, give me a paper stack, and I talk about this a lot, or a cardboard board. I'll write down the letters, the numbers. I always put the sun and moon because my friends like to come through. And I'll put goodbye, hello, whatever. And I just pick a Pyrex dish, turn it over, or a double old-fashioned, and use that with a partner, and it works. So why does it work? Again, it's not this device that I have in front of me. I have a 1902 one sitting here right in front of me right now. It's kind of one of my inspirations. But it's not that. It's my intention behind it to say, that's going to work. It will work like a regular board. And now, saying that, though, I collect Ouija boards. I have a very small collection, but I've brought some out, and I always try them all out. I give them a test spin of the planchette. And I brought a new one in, and I set it down, and I had a new planchette that came with it, which is that device that moves around with your fingers on it. It was not moving very well. And finally, my friend's spirit friend spelled out, go in your garage, get the felt tips to that you could put get the felt pads and put that on those pads so we can move easier. And I thought, oh, I went in the garage. Sure enough, I had those felt pads. I forgot I had them. I pulled them out, put them on. And they said, oh, thank you. Now we can spell better. So they didn't really like the board because the planchette wasn't working too well. So they asked me to make an adjustment to it, and it worked really well. But they'll tell me they have their favorite board, and I really think it's because the energy, my attachment to it. And my attachment to my board, which Victor mentioned, is my board that I've had for 41 years. I like it. It's something that I've always used it, and I like it over all the boards I have, and probably because it's what I was given from Santa Claus. So it's sacred to me. So when I use that board, it's like I already have that energy associated with it. You see what I'm saying? I have my energy associated with it, my intentions, my beliefs about that board that already sets the stage to use it. You know, it's already got my energy all over it. So it just works. It just works like that, just so well. So I stick with what works.
We have some listeners who actually didn't make the first hour, and if you would just repeat, because these are really popular and important questions. Number one, Lisa and Lilica want to know about using the board alone. Should the person use the board alone?
I don't mind repeating that answer at all, because that's a very pertinent one. I recommend not, N-O. And the reason why is because I find that people find this as a novel tool, then they get really excited about it, and they want to use it all the time. If there's nobody else there to kind of stop you or a partner, you can become obsessed with it. And that's when you bring in some energies that are earthbound, that are a little less than positive, and they can mess with you. And why would you want to do that? So really, truthfully, and what I've learned just using it all these years with always a partner, is that you learn to trust whoever you're working with it, and you come to the feeling that you know you're not pushing it, because it moves differently. If you put your hand on the planchette and watch it move, you're going to always question yourself and question your messages. Then you're setting up the energy of questioning, of not being certain. You want to have everything in your body, your being, saying, yes, I'm open, yes, I'm safe, yes, I'm positive, and I'm going to work with my partner here. We're going to do this safely. And that's the best way to do it. And you will find after time and patience and practice and many hours again under the planchette that it will start to move and work for you. But it does take a lot of dedication to it. And really, everybody, don't use it on your own. It's just you want to have productive, beneficial responses and conversations with the other beings. And you'll get it best with another person with you, doing it with you.
Now, on the break, you were telling us about your Ouija collection. Could you share that with our listeners?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I have a small collection. I've collected boards. My oldest one is a 1902 board, and I have quite a few boards from the 40s and 50s. And then my board is from the 73. And then I have a newer board, which was, about 8 years old. It's a glow-in-the-dark board. Small, it's a great travel board. So I will put it in a suitcase if I know I'm going to go somewhere and work with people with the board. And it's small. It's the smallest board I have. Even my 1902 board is pretty small. But I've shared them, actually. I was on a TV show once, and I shared a bunch of my boards on there just so people could see how they've changed in design over the years. But not all of mine are Ouija boards. Now, there are talking boards, spirit boards out there made by other companies. And I actually have two that are from 1940, and they're one. This is a funny board. I'll tell you about it. It's actually made in the form of a dinner tray. And what they would do in the 40s, they'd have their dinner and then sit around and talk, and they'd bring out their tray of toddies, and they would drink, I guess, and eat. And then they would sit and play Ouija on the tray. Once they moved, cleared the glasses, they pulled a planchette out and play on it. It has the edges that are turned up just like a tray. And I use that one every now and then. But if you look at my book online, even on Amazon, you'll see on the cover of the book, those boards in that book are all mine, and I have them as part of the picture of the cover of the book. So they just found such a history to the Ouija board over the years, and who held the patent rights and in other countries and the different talking boards. It's they're really beautiful pieces of artwork. It just even if you don't even use the Ouija board, they're really cool.
Karen, I got to ask you the question Karen, I got to ask you the question because you're out in California. Do you wax your boards?
And I surf on them.
You hang ten fingers, right?
That's it. I hang nobody on my good. That's funny. I love it. They, again, I have people that are new that have listened to your listeners. The spirits on the other side really want us to have a sense of humor because it elevates our mood when we're laughing. It makes everybody happier in the room. You know, you can walk in a room where the energy feels so thick you can cut it with a knife. Well, the Ouija doesn't work under those auspices. It doesn't work that well. It works under happy, loving, positive, fun energy, and I'm not saying to be so silly. I've been so silly before, and they told me, okay, come on, bring it down. But if we're too solemn or too serious, they're like, come on, laugh. Life is to be enjoyed. And so I love this humor because it keeps us in that space while we're talking about it in a way. As we're talking, we're traversing this spiritual space.
Karen, you know, I know you answered this question, but we have so many more listeners the second hour that didn't hear it, and I'm getting messages from them to ask you this question, and maybe the short answer so we can get to all the other stuff, but they want to know, and I know it was one of the first questions you answered, but how did the Ouija board originate, and how old is it? Just a real quick answer on that.
Sure, okay. The first year was made, it was 1891, and it was patented as the Ouija Egyptian Luck Board, and it's been around since then. So it's definitely an American-made item, although it was also patented in Canada, and you'll see even in Mexico they've had some Ouija boards later on. But it was made forever until 1966 by William Fold Company and his kids, until Parker Brothers bought it in 66, and now Hasbro owns Parker Brothers. And in 66, when they bought the rights to make Ouija, they sold that next year over 2 million boards. It really is an icon for the American culture, and it used to be in everybody's home almost everybody's home in the heyday of the 20s, 30s, and 40s.
So Parker Brothers did not have a monopoly on Ouija, is what you're saying.
They had it.
I'm sorry.
You know what's funny about that? It outsold Monopoly that first year of sales in 1966 when Parker Brothers had it. It outsold Monopoly. Isn't that crazy? Wow.
That's amazing. You know, we had a question from Miss Karen in our chat room. She's also a medium. And she was saying, if you have a planchette that moves more smoothly over the board, do you get better response?
Absolutely. And that's the example I used when I brought this old planchette that came with my board I bought. And the spirit said, you know, go get those felt tip pads and put them on our little feet. There's 3 feet to a planchette, and that made it move smoother. So I've retrofitted some of mine. I had to do that because they're old, they're worn off, and yeah, it works better because it's such subtle movements. And if you got it hanging on and getting stuck on the board, like my 1902 board has some chips in it, and you know, if you get stuck, the felt will move over a lot easier. Absolutely.
There was another question in the room from Lilica, and again, she's the 13-year-old child who's very, very gifted. And she wants to know, can you help a spirit pass over into the light with the Ouija board?
Beautiful, beautiful question, and that really touches my heart. I've done that many times with spirits that I find. What has happened over the years is what I've learned. When you do the board many times and you keep this positive attention, it's like a beacon of light. And when I open the board, there's a light there. They tell me they see it. It's like moths going to the flame or moths going to a light bulb. And the lost spirits are the ones that are earthbound that have been walking or stuck or don't even know they're dead. See it, and all of a sudden it'll be like having lines crossed on an old-fashioned party line. You know, you pick up a phone and somebody else is on it, or those old phones that we have in our homes. You could hear people's conversations. They'll come through, and they just start coming through rapid fire, and I have to slow them down. But they say, "Where am I? It's dark, or I'm lost." And I work with many over the years. I talk about it in my book. I give some examples of a few of them, where I would call it spirit releasement, that I help them go into the light. I can't make them. It's not my job to make them, but if they come to me and ask and say they want to go, I more than happily readily help them. But it's never for me to determine that. Everybody has free will, and it's not for me to know what their soul contract is. Only they know. But when they ask, yes, I'm there to help, and I've helped quite a few go into the light.
And a number of our listeners in the chat room are asking the magic question, because everyone wants to know, did you ever face a demon while working with the board?
I have never faced a demon. But I have faced earthbound spirits. I have faced some negative interactions, such as, like I mentioned before, cuffing, trying to tell you what to do, and I don't even let it go that far. And that's been far and few between, and where I haven't had that in years. I think it's just maybe it's the level of where I'm at or the intentions I have behind it, because I know this tool so well. But yet, over the years, I have had some earthbound spirits come through. And I made some mistakes along the way, assuming that because I witnessed an earthbound spirit space, like I was invited to an attic in a home in Wyoming, and the spirit was there. And I could feel it and sense it and everything but see it. And it started speaking to me, and it said, "Get out of here and go away." And I, at that point, she said, "You're absolutely right. I will leave." Instead, I just communicated with it, and it followed me back to where I was living in Oregon at the time, and it came through again. And I have a great group of bouncers, great spirit guides on the other side. My angel came through and said, "No, and we're not allowing it to come through, and all you got to do is tell it to go." And when it wants to communicate in a manner that you can understand, you'll work with it. But it never did come back. But I made a mistake of going into its space. That was its space. And me to go in there and start speaking with it. And this is what we do. We do these paranormal investigations. Got to remember, we're walking into somebody else's space. Whether it's a being or an unseen being or a spiritual energy, or we got to respect that. And that's the way I could handle it. And I talk about it in my book, and the lessons I've learned is to say, if you're open to communicating, and if it said go away, then I say, I respect you, and when you're ready, I'm available, and thank you very much for your time. Bye-bye. That's
Amen.
What I should have done.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, not for me. It's not for me to do that, and I learned that. So I want people to know that there's a seriousness to stepping into this space and really start learning about everything you can about spirituality and your own spiritual practice, whatever that is, that's going to help you know more about who you are deep inside.
Karen, are there any other entities that you've contacted with the board?
Are there any other entities that have contacted me? You mean, what do you mean by that? I speak to them all the time.
All the entities that you have contacted.
I will say this. People ask me if I ever spoke to anybody famous, okay? Like George Washington, right? And I haven't, but I know other people have used the board. There's accounts of it. There's a woman back in the early 1900s who spoke to a patient's words, and it was an entity that was from some old English dialect that we don't even know about anymore. And this woman was uneducated, and she wrote volumes and volumes of work. There's some other people, James Merrill, as a writer who wrote some great poetic ballads, and he used to channel beings. And by the way, my first book I wrote was channeled and through the use of my Ouija board with things they helped me write about. They would come to me and ask me questions, give me topics, and I'd go write about them, and I'd come back and we would discuss them, and they'd ask me to go deeper with them, so they helped me write my book. But I will say this, I don't want to give away who it was I spoke to, but I did speak to a famous group of people, and they're famous because of some notorious, horrific killing, which I hate. But I don't want to say too much more about it other than that. They're in California, and they're stuck, there, and they're not going to leave till their message is heard. And that's in the book, so I'm not going to say anything else about that. But there's just different types of consciousness, beings, energies that you can speak to through the board.
And what about extraterrestrial intelligence?
Oh, I was wondering if you're going to ask that question. All right, so here we go. This is the answer, yes and no. I've been, okay, some people do, some people don't. I speak to some beings, and they don't necessarily say they're ETs, although they'd say you would call us that. They're from other galaxies. They're from other frequencies. They really like to use the word vibration or frequencies, and they tell me things about different planets and existences. I spent a few years speaking to a lot of these type of energies, and that would probably have to be my part two book to come out. I don't want to say too much more about it, but yeah, they do come through the board, and I've heard other people reach out to me and tell you about some of the beings they're speaking to, and they're getting some really crazy but incredible messages. And if you get any message that doesn't help you move forward in growth and life, don't listen to it. It's gibberish in my belief. It's just somebody coming through and just talking and talking like some people do that are egocentric. You don't want none of that. But they're here to enlighten you, to share with you in your life, to suggest about the greatness within yourself. Then, yeah, go ahead and listen to that and take those messages in.
Now, you talk about the Ouija board being used for positive experiences. Can you please share an example of that?
Yeah, okay, for example, this is a recent one. I was hosting an open message circle at my house. And one of a gal, was a friend of a friend, knew what I was doing and wanted to come to the session. And I said, fine. I don't usually ask why they want to come. I just know that spirits, the right energy will come through and speak to them. And pretty much the sun and moon are the major entities I speak to who kind of moderate on the other side and help the energies come through. This person was going through a rough time at work, was suffering from low self-esteem and depression, and really was feeling stuck in her life. And she had lost her dad. Her mother was very sick, dying of cancer, and it just her family, her upbringing was just really horrendous. And she was thinking, what? I don't know what to do next. Where am I going in my life? So, and I didn't know all this to start. I'm just telling you so you guys understand what I'm giving you the story. So she sat down, and spirits immediately came through. It was her dead father. Her dead father was the only beacon in her life when he was alive that she felt like really helped her. He said, look, he basically said to her in a nutshell, and this story is in the book too, by the way. He basically said, I know what you're going through. You need to learn to work with your boss better. Try writing him emails. He doesn't listen to what you say. He's going to get the email. I mean, practical things like this. I mean, this is what we get sometimes. And then he said, mother is not doing so well, and yes, she's been hard in your life, but see if you can just still try to move forward. Talk to her, but move forward. Don't take that personally. Reach out to the next job. Reach out to what it is you really want to do. And it talked about these items and said, give it a shot. She wrote back to me about a week later. I since become a friend and somebody who likes to come to my open message circles, but said that one session really opened her eyes to who she was and what her aspirations were. She had really pushed them down because her life seemed so out of control. But once that session, she was able to go, yeah, I've always wanted to go into more advertising and creative copy and not do this laborious type of work. And I'm going to go in that direction. And so she made some changes with her boss. And it's actually her work schedule, her workload has shifted incredibly. She's able to do some of these more creative things in her work, but also on the side. So I can't say it's all because of her session, but because she was ready to hear the message, as we talked about Chris when he does his readings, don't come unless you're ready to hear the message. She was ready to hear some message, and then she got it, and it just helped her make it more tangible, and she could work with that later on herself. And so that's an example of how we use it for growth in our life, to really affect those changes, to think of those possibilities, to find those aptitudes. I'm just going to call it what it is, the greatness within, the divinity within yourself, to know that you deserve great rewards in life and that you can have those now through learning to find out who you are inside. Again, the board always asks us to go back within. I say the board, I'm talking about my spirit friends, to go back within and find this out yourself. I have great quotes in my book that they give me. And every chapter I wrote, I started with a quote. I'm going to read one to you that came, this one came from the higher self. It said, the right path has many branches. I love that because it's saying there's not one way to get your answers. It has as many different branches or directions to go, but you will always be on your right path if you just move forward. There's always profound things when it comes through that it likes to say. Here's one from the sun. You already know what to do. You hold all the answers. I can't tell you how many times when we're struggling with something, myself or my partner or the participants, it'll say, you know, and I'm not even going to say it out loud, so why don't you just say it out loud right now to us? And then you go, oh, I was thinking about this. And they say, bingo. And they won't just say, now do this. They'll say, what is it about that? And it's almost like you're like a therapy, I guess, because they bring it out of you. That's when you know you're speaking a positive influence. That's all I'm going to speak to. And the way it resonates in our lives, that's when you know you've got something positive happening here.
There's a wonderful old story about a Buddhist monk who was traveling with his young apprentice, and one day they stopped to take a nap on the roadside. And when the apprentice woke up, he caught out of the corner of his eye the senior monk taking a mirror out of his backpack and looking at himself. And the young apprentice thought to himself, ah, the master is vain. And he walked over later and said, Master, I saw you staring into a looking glass. Isn't that a sign of vanity? And the old monk smiled and he said, my son, he said, when I look into that mirror, I see the source of all of my troubles and the source of all of my answers and solutions. And that's the truth. We have it all within inside of us. Sage advice from our wonderful guest, Karen A. Dahlman, author of the book, The Spirits of Ouija, 4 Decades of Communication. Her website is Karen A. Dahlman, that's spelled DAHLMAN.com. And you get the book and on Amazon.com. And also, please support your local bookstores. We encourage you to do that. They're very, very important to our economy. And I'd like to say that coming up at the top of the hour, we have Kathy Buckaloo in the Truth Connection, and she has an amazing guest tonight. Her guest is Scott Walter. And for those of you who know the show America on Earth, he's a forensic geologist who goes around the country looking for clues to ancient secrets, and he's a big guy on the Hooked X, meaning that the Knights Templar at some point came to North America, and may have hidden great, wonderful treasures. And he's on with Kathy tonight at 10 o'clock on Truth Connections. Chris?
What I want to know is if a person wants to develop spiritually, why use the Ouija board instead of pursuing other spiritual practices?
You know, you don't need to use the Ouija board. And it's just one small tool. It's actually only one small tool within my life. I do dream recall, I do meditation, I do journaling, I do creative artwork for inspiration. So I read and I study and I write about these things. It really is just a tool. That's all it is. I don't put too much credence to it other than some of the communications I've had from it. And so it's been important in my life and the fact that it's been with me and it's been one small tool. But you can do this in many, many different ways. Many different paths, again, the right path, I should say, has many different branches. The right path would be going back to yourself, finding this divine being that you are, and there's many different ways, many different branches to get there. And that's what I'm here to really say, not to sell you on Ouija. In fact, I don't even recommend anybody to go out and do Ouija unless you're called to it. It was a tool that called to me, and it's been very invaluable, I'll say. But there's other tools out there. There's other ways. And yourself is a tool in itself to develop spiritually, seriously. And so I hope everybody understands that this is just one way and not the only or the way.
Karen, with reference to animal spirits, do animal spirits come through the Ouija?
Yeah, they do, and I was hoping we had time to touch on this real quickly. They're the most beautiful souls when they come through. I have two cats sitting here looking at me because they both speak to me on my Ouija board, and they're alive. They're not dead. I speak to dead ones. I speak to live ones. But the very first time I ever spoke to an animal, even knew I could speak to an animal, I didn't create this. What happened was my angel was talking to me with my partner and said, Karen, you're not going to believe this, but somebody wants to talk to you. I said, okay, bring them in. Next thing you know, it said, I love you, Hermes cat. Now, my cat's name was Hermes, Hermes Trismegistus. His name is Hermes, big, fat, orange cat, sitting in a chair watching me. They love to watch when I do Ouija. I think they like the calmness, they like the energy of it, I think. And he was just staring at me, and I thought, oh, my God, he just talked to me. And since then, I learned you can talk to, it's like talking to my higher self. I can talk to them. And how it happens, what they explained to me, is that the beings on their side will change their frequency and match their vibration. And then they have pictures, they have thoughts, they have feelings, and they interpret that and give it back to me. So I had quite a few conversations with my pets, other people's pets, and dead pets over the years, and I put a whole section in my book about my conversations with my cats, because it's funny. And another cute note about that, I had a cat just adopt me in the last month, and it's a white, beautiful cat. I posted on Facebook. But he named himself, by the way. I didn't know what to name him. I was sitting down doing a board with some friends, and the cat walked up, sat down right there like they always seem to do. And all of a sudden, I was talking to one of our spirit beings, and all of a sudden it broke in and said, I like the name Bear. I was like, what? I'm looking at the cat, he's looking at me, I go, well, you want to be named Bear? He said, yes. He goes, my old name was George, but I like the name Bear, and I like it here better. I feel like a king here. It's great here. And he went on and told me some other things. And he's sitting right now looking at me. It's just so precious. And they don't talk every time. Again, you can't force them. It's when they want to. And they don't. I think it's kind of silly that I ask to speak to them. But they do it because it makes me happy. And I think it doesn't improve our relationship because our relationship's already good. It just reminds us that, you know, they have a consciousness and awareness and a sense of feelings. And they also are playful and funny and very childlike and not trying to be that on purpose. They just enjoy life no matter what. And it's just precious.
Karen, one of our good friends and member of the Second Sight team, Tom Gillespie, wanted to know if you can speak to a live dog through Ouija. And I responded, yes, if the board is made of bark.
That's great.
I mean, funny.
Right, I'm using bark board here. There you go. That's how I do it. I use the bark board.
There you go.
So Karen, I want to know, what have you learned about death and dying at the Ouija board, or through the Ouija board?
I have learned that that death doesn't really exist. Yes, there's a transition. I've learned that they call it life over there. They call I'm working in my new life now. I've heard that so many times. An example with the story of the father coming through to this gal who wanted, you know, confirmation about her life and direction and help from her guiding light, her father. And he even said, I am enjoying my new life here right now. They tell me that over and over again. So what I've learned about death and dying is that it's very much of a thin veil. They exist. They go on. That you never lose anybody. You may not physically see them, feel them anymore. Some people do, some of the people that are more open to, their abilities to do so. Everybody can, by the way, but they just transition. It's like the physics always talks about matter is neither created nor destroyed. It just changes form. Well, I'm here to say that's what happens. They change form. This is what they've told me time and time again. And it really is comforting to learn that. And I had an experience in college, and I'm going to quickly tell you, and it's in my book in detail, but basically a spirit came through. There was a gal on the rim who had a sister who died. I had no idea. I was blindfolded. So was the other Ouija operator. Somebody else wrote. I had no idea what was going on. This was back in the day when I wanted to prove this stuff works. I don't do that anymore, but a spirit came through and said, hello, so-and-so. I tell mom and dad I'm fine. I love you very much. When the car hit us, we died immediately. There was no pain. In fact, my boyfriend's here and he feels no pain. I want you to know I will always be with you and we've never ever left you. And we will be together again physically in some other time and space. But know this, that I love you very much. And the only pain I ever felt was the pain you feel from not being able to let us go or the pain you felt at the funeral. But know that we love you and we're always here. It was so beautiful. And everybody in the room cried. There was not a dry eye because it was so poignantly touching. It reminds us that it's a veil and we can reach through, break through, and receive communication still, and they never, ever leave us.
Absolutely. And Karen, on that note, we have the last question of the evening. We have about 2 minutes left. I think you just gave one of the answers. What would you like your readers to take away from the spirits of Ouija for decades of communication?
I'd like them to know that they are divine soul themselves and that within themselves is a great wealth of possibilities. And to tap into these possibilities, know yourself. Use whatever tool, use your dreams, use your journaling, whatever it is that allows you to go back within to hear yourself, to learn about yourself. Because then in the world you find that anything is possible. And the possibilities are outside of us and the possibilities are within. But once you go within, you will find that your life will change, will be forever changed. And these books speak, both, I wrote two books. These books speak to that and my path and journey using one tool that helped me to discover this and find this out.
Wonderful.
I should help you find that.
Wonderful. Our guest, ladies and gentlemen, has been Karen A. Dahlman, the author of the book, The Spirits of Ouija, Four Decades of Communication. The book is filled with wisdom and humor and great advice about connecting with spirit and also about just living your life. I think her advice here is just absolutely wonderful. You can find out more about her work at her website, which is KarenADahlman.com. Dahlman is spelled D-A-H-L-M-A-N, and you can get her book on Amazon.com and wherever great books are sold. Mr. Chris.
Well, I'm blown away by the show tonight. This is a show I've been waiting for. You know, I've been doing this show for 3 years, okay? I've been doing Second Sight for 3 years, and we've been doing Vision Quest now for a few months, and I've always wanted to have somebody come on and talk about the Ouija board. Somebody who actually knows what they're talking about and, you know, doesn't just try and scare people and whatnot, because I find when I listen to other shows, they have somebody come on and talk about the Ouija board. It's all about demons and the devil and possession, and that's it. That, you know, there's no other conversation. It's all negative, negative, negative. And it's nice to have somebody come on who actually knows what the hell she's talking about, first of all, can put a positive spin on something that, you know, does have a negative aura about it, you know. And I just thought this was an amazing show. And I thought, Karen, you were absolutely phenomenal. And I really thoroughly enjoyed the show tonight. And I want to thank you for coming on and educating our audience tonight.
Well, listen, that was some crazy beautiful what you said, and I'm very humbled by that. Thank you very much. And I just really enjoyed being on the show. You guys are great interviewers, but I like the format, too. And thank you so much for spending your time with me and allowing me to share about this, because it is true. You hear all the negativity about it, and I haven't had that experience. Although I'll listen to it, I won't shut it down, but I know what greatness I can find within this tool, too. So thank you again, you both, and thank you all you listeners as well. And just namaste to yourself. But I celebrate the place in you where we are one. Thank you very much.
And thank you. And when your new book is ready, make sure you reach out. Let's get you back on.
Sounds great. Sounds great to me. It'll be based on some of the Ouija board work, what it's taught me about living life.
Wonderful.
Beautiful.
Thank you, Karen A. Dahlman. Thank you.
Great.
And coming up right after us, ladies and gentlemen, we have Kathy Buckaloo in the Truth Connection, and she has a great guest on tonight. In fact, I'm a little envious. She's got Scott Walter, the host of America on Earth. He's a forensic geologist, and for anyone who's watched any of his shows, he goes around the United States and also around the world searching for clues of ancient and hidden history, the history that we've been taught is not necessarily the truth, and Scott Walter goes out and proves that, and he's going to be on tonight with with Kathy Buckaloo on the Truth Connection coming up right after our show.
Well, you know, Victor, I think Joe actually wants us to go over a few minutes.
I have a gemstone that I've been holding for like a month and a half now because our shows have been so great. I haven't had a chance to do one. Would you like
to
do a
gemstone?
Well,
what the hell are you waiting for, brother?
There you go. You know, Chris, our gemstone tonight is blue chalcedony. It's a demure crystal, subtle and mystic, cool and serene, ethereal yet solid. It has an inviting, soft blue translucence, an almost imperceptible movement within the stone that invokes a stillness of silent reverence. It's calming, and it speaks of spirit and trust. Chalcedony is a member of the quartz family with a crypto-crystalline structure, perfect for magnifying its crystal energy to soothe and restore balance from the conscious mind to the inner child all the way down to the basic animal self. Its name was derived from the Greek port city of Chalcedon. The ancient civilizations of Egypt, Greece, and Rome used varieties of this wonderful gem in jewelry and carvings as gems of antiquity, and they were believed to imbue their holders with certain powers. Chalcedony is known as the speaker's stone. I must have one. The stone of one who must measure his words or her words. It encourages reflection and meditation, its gentle radiance preparing us for action, but also helping us to hold back words that we might regret. The old story about you have two ears and one mouth, listen twice, speak once. The great Roman orator Cicero is said to have worn one around his neck. It's considered a nurturing stone. It absorbs negative energy, and it dissipates it before it can be passed on. It promotes brotherhood and goodwill, opening the mind to new ideas instilling feelings of benevolence and generosity. Chalcedony was considered a sacred stone also by the Native Americans, using it to promote stability during their ceremonial activities. It is still in use today for meditations and as a pathway for receiving successful thought transmission. Blue chalcedony, our stone for tonight.
That's pretty awesome. Very cool stone.
Thank you.
So I want to know something, Victor. What do we have coming up next week? Talk to me.
Oh, boy. Next week's going to be a really, really cool show because next week we're going to have our friend Dr. Rahm Weber come back. And instead of us interviewing her, she's going to interview you and me. You know what happens when people interview us, Chris? Anything can happen. Anything.
Oh, God. You know, I get nervous when they interview us. But I got to say, with Rahm, I just have a feeling it's going to be very professional because she is very professional. It's not like having Moonshine come on and asking us some crazy questions in between his, like, really serious questions. You know, under those circumstances, we really have to watch, you know, wonder what's going to come at us. But with Rahm, I have a feeling it's going to be real professional. And I'm really looking forward to it because, like I said, we do a lot of the same things, but in a very, very different way. And I'm talking about me and her. You are somewhere in the middle. I think you lean, you know, strongly towards her in the way you do things. But there are things that you do, you know, that are very, very like what I do. And I just think it's going to be a great show next week. I'm really looking forward to it.
Absolutely. And, Chris, I just want to reach out to all of our listeners. We have so many healers and so many people who know how to use the energy of spirit for positive things. The folks down there in Southern California are really struggling with some of the most intense brush fires that have ever been seen in history. If you've seen some of the coverage on television, some of those fires are like tornado. They're like tornadic fires. It's unbelievable. So please send your positive energy out there and also supporting the firefighters and those putting their lives on the line to stop this fire and protect the people and their homes. Just a really, really important thing that everyone put out a positive energy and ask Mother Nature to arrest this fire and protect everyone who's fighting it.
Well, sounds good to me, my friend, and well said as always. I guess that's it. I guess our show is over, or does Joe need us to stay on a little bit longer?
I'll just promote and say coming up again right after we're done on Kathy Buckaloo's Truth Connection is going to be the wonderful Mr. Scott Walter. He's a forensic geologist, the host of the show America on Earth. He's also written the book about the Hooked X, which is the symbol of the Knights Templar, and it is his firm belief that somewhere within the North America we can find evidence that the Knights Templars came here and actually brought treasures with them long before Christopher Columbus arrived. And what a great show, and I think it's going to be a great show. And I'm actually looking forward to listening to it.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, tonight we had a lot of listeners, and when you add in the AM and FM and the cell phone listeners, I mean, we're well over 900,000 listeners tonight. And if some of you guys could just stay around and listen to Kathy's show, I guarantee you you're going to love it. The woman does a phenomenal job with her show. She's so well-versed and researched in every subject that she brings on the air. And I guarantee you, you stay around, you listen to the show, you're going to absolutely love her. So,
and Joe just told us we broke our record by 504 listeners tonight, which means that it's something like 940,000?
I don't know. Well, the record, the way he does the record is what's on the server. So it's going to be the number that you saw before, that 880 something thousand. But when you add though the listeners that you can't count, it's over 900,000. But as far as the record goes for us, it's close to 890,000. So Second Sight's doing a good job. And thank you to all our listeners. We absolutely appreciate it. We love doing the show, and we love the fact that you guys enjoy it, so thank you for listening.
And anyway, we love our listeners. We love our listeners in the biblical sense, Chris. Did you know that?
No, I mean, if you say biblical, I say, you know, whatever. We just love them. But anyway, we're Second Sight Radio. Thank you all for listening tonight. We're here every week making the unbelievable believable, and may the spirits guide you. Thank you, and good night.
Good night, everyone.
of the angels.